us stand for the reading of God's holy word. And turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, the lifestyle of the messengers of Christ. Part 2, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign. Day 767, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1132, since January the 1st, 2016, of preaching the gospel, preaching about Jesus, preaching the word of God in a variety of messages and different series. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, the word of God says, "And when he had called unto him his disciples, his 12 disciples, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits," unclean spirits, demon spirits. They're still running around today, by the way, "to cast them out, for they need to be cast out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, two sets of brothers, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, the tax collector, who was hated. The publicans were hated by the Jews. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your eternal and holy word, your inspired word. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your love, and your grace, and for salvation full and free through your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for the privilege that you give us to proclaim your gospel and to share with others as it saved us. We thank you for the presence, the peace, and the power, and the fruit of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, you know and we know that nothing, absolutely nothing good, nothing worthwhile, nothing lasting will happen without the precious power and anointing and unction of your Holy Spirit moving, Lord, in this place, in our lives, through your preached word. Not one soul will be saved, and not one Christian will be moved to repent of sin and confess sin and get their hearts right. Lord, have your Holy Spirit's power to fall upon the hearts and minds of wicked people in the church and outside of the church, that Christians would repent of their sins even though they're hearing the gospel, that lost people would humble themselves and repent of their sins and receive the gospel and receive Jesus Christ and be saved today by the might and power of your Holy Spirit. For you have told us in your word, it is not by might nor by power, that is human power, human might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil. Cast the demons out of the people who have allowed the demons to lodge in their hearts and minds, souls and spirits. Through looking at evil on the internet, looking at evil on television, participating in evil on the internet, looking at pornography, and looking at it every day, lusting after people they cannot have, playing demonic games, Ouija board games, and so forth on the internet, and allowing demons to come into their lives, and not confessing their sins, not repenting, getting mad at those they should be glad about, and getting glad at those they should be mad about, calling evil good and good evil. As your holy word says in Isaiah chapter 1, their whole head is sick. Their whole heart is corrupt, even in the church today. Lifting up unholy hands with hypocritical praises. Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins as Christians first. Have judgment to continue to fall upon the house of God. And break us and make us and mold us to be what you would have us to be. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Lift this up right here so I can. Ladies and gentlemen, R.T. France said, there is a striking parallel between the mission of the disciples and that of Jesus Christ himself. The words they preach are the same as Jesus' words, and by the way, may I say, that's what we ought to be doing in the church today. But we're so far removed from Jesus Christ and the first apostles, the apostles in the early church, that we don't do that at all in many cases today. And their acts of healing cover practically all the types of Jesus's healing miracles. Their mission is an extension of his. Is that what you have going on? Is your mission today an extension of Jesus's mission? He goes on to say, for which they are vested with his authority. You need to take care of this, because this was working fine throughout all of the other services. So make sure that this is working as normal. In our last message on last week from this passage, we dealt with the underlying principle in all of the efforts of the messengers of Christ, the sent ones, the apostles. That underlying principle and driving force is the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus gave his disciples power before sending them out on their evangelistic mission. And it is only through his power, only through his might, only through his Holy Spirit that they are able to cast out unclean spirits, only by the name of Jesus Christ, to heal diseases and to preach the gospel. As we continue looking at the instructions that Jesus gives his disciples, we notice three principles that we can apply to our own lives as messengers of Christ in this day and time, for those of us who are truly saved, those of us who are truly born again and called by God. Okay, what do you have? What kind of problem are you having back here? Over here. You had a thumbs down. Okay, it's back on now. Okay, what was it? The sound? Huh? First, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't think we'll be able to get to all three points today, but first, the messengers of Christ go where he tells them to go. Jesus could have told his disciples to go wherever they wanted as long as they preached the gospel. Let him deal with this part. You just take care of that. Okay, pull this back up. Over here, no, you pull it back up. Pull it back a little bit. Just a little bit. Those of you who are viewing and watching and participating online, pray for us. Pray for me. We need your prayers. So many of you come back each and every day, and we thank God for you. Those of you who are on Periscope times two, and those of you who are on Facebook Live times two, we thank God for you all. And believe it or not, years ago, I was not going to use Periscope and Facebook Live. I thought it would be just too problematic. But the truth of the matter is, I thank God we chose to do that, because we get way more people around the world watching and participating and listening to these sermons and messages down through these past few years than we do on our other cameras that go out of here live. On top of that, we have less problems. One of the reasons why, when we have an issue with our main camera, I keep on preaching, because we have five cameras going out of here through Facebook Live and Periscope, and I think one other thing going out of here, and we have less problems with that than we do with our main big camera. So but I would ask you to, as I've asked you before, to pray for us just like we pray for you. We thank God for the thousands of prayer requests that we have received over the years, and we thank God for the privilege of praying for you. And so I want to invite you to pray for us. We need your prayers because we're engaged in a spiritual warfare. Whenever you're preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ every day in multiple ways, by any means necessary, the devil is going to be on you like white on rice and black on me. That's just a guarantee. That's if you believe the Bible. And so people who are serving the Lord in sincerity around the world are suffering the same thing. So we're praying for you. Please pray for us. And at the very beginning, going back to the very beginnings, because some folks missed it, we have three points that we want to deal with, but today we're just going to deal with the first one. And that is, the messengers of Christ go where he tells them to go. They are obedient. They are submissive to Christ. and submission to Christ, and submission and obedience to God-ordained authority over you is a beautiful thing. It's not something to think is bad or wrong. It's a beautiful thing. One of the beautiful things about Christianity is that grown men and grown women submit themselves to a Jesus, the Jesus, that they have never seen. They conduct their lives accordingly. Many do, based upon God's holy word. It is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when a wife, who might even be smarter than her husband and have better ideas than her husband, submits herself to her husband. It's a beautiful thing when grown children and teenage children, who may know a whole lot about a whole lot of things that the parents don't understand, but they humble themselves and they submit to the God-ordained authority. It's a beautiful thing. You don't have to do it, but it's a beautiful thing when people do it. On yesterday, we talked about how Isaac did it. And not only Isaac, but ladies and gentlemen, when Joseph and Mary went looking for Jesus, and they found him, and he told them lovingly and respectfully what the deal was, which he thought they knew, and then he decided to go ahead and subject himself to his parents, Jesus, God in the flesh. And so who are you not to submit yourself to Jesus and to the God-ordained authority he has placed over you? Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus could have told his disciples to go wherever they wanted as long as they preached the gospel. But he is the true commander in chief. Not only has he given us our the great commission and the great commandment, but he directs where we go. Did you know that? Do you understand that? Everybody needs to go where God directs them. And you need to stay put until God moves you. Now, I know you don't like that, because we Americans like to move every 6 months or so. But Jesus gave them specific instructions on where to go and where not to go. Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus had a specific reason for his messengers to go to the Jews with the gospel first. Now, if Jesus was in America today, he would be called a racist right off the bat. He would be called prejudice. He would be called a pro-Semite, pro-Israel. There are people in Congress who would condemn him. He himself had told the Samaritan woman that salvation is of the Jews. And by the way, Brother Andy and others, don't you ever forget it. Salvation is of the Jews. And always remember that Jesus Christ is a Jew. And it was only right that they receive every opportunity, the first opportunity, to accept their promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, first. Amen, somebody. Thank God for the Jews. Thank God for the Old Testament. By the way, folks who want to move us away from the Old Testament, when you say and you quote John the Baptist, and you say Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world, you are referring back to the Israelites and the Passover, man. So, don't get it twisted. This likely made sense to the nationalist-minded Jewish disciples who repeatedly expressed concern in the Gospels about the house of Israel being restored. Dr. Robert Gundry writes in his commentary, "The prohibition against taking a road into any Gentile territory and against entering any Samaritan city limit the 12 apostles initially to Galilee and to the Jews living there. Thus the apostles' ministry follows the pattern of Jesus' ministry. All Jesus was doing the right thing. He can't do any other. Salvation is of the Jews. They were the ones who received the oracles of God. Moses received the Ten Commandments, which rule the world to this day. You break them at your peril. Not only with God, but with man. Many people are dead. Thousands upon thousands are dead because they have broken the Ten Commandments, fooling around and messing around with somebody else's wife, somebody else's husband, somebody else's a servant, manservant, or woman servant, and got found out and got their brains blown out. And they're in the grave or in the woods somewhere right now. Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, David, the major prophets, the minor prophets, if you will. Salvation is of the Jews. And Jesus was just doing the right thing. They need to hear the gospel first. Doing things right, decently, and in order. Can somebody say amen? And thank God for the ministries of the day. We support at least two of the ministries. We used to support the Friends of Israel. We support missionary lady. Tell me the Jewish organization that we support now. Jews for Jesus. Jews for Jesus. And the other one is, say it again, Jewish Voice. We thank God for all of the ministries that are reaching out to the Jews. That's not what God has called me to do, but I support those who do that. To the Jew first, and then also to the Gentile. God has called me to reach the Gentiles primarily. But be that as it may, thus the apostles' ministry follows the pattern of Jesus' ministry, which began in Galilee. This correlation will be strengthened later by the stated limitation of his ministry to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, exceptionally, some Gentiles do believe in Jesus during his ministry. But a planned mission to Gentiles doesn't start really until after the Jewish authorities have engineered his crucifixion and he has risen from the dead. That is, not until the kingdom has been transferred, if you will, to the church. The present limitation belongs to an initial stage alone and rests on the correlation between the ministries of Jesus and the 12, like teacher, like disciples. And so, ladies and gentlemen, today our world is much larger than that of the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. On a daily basis, you and I are likely to cross paths with people from more nationalities and ethnic groups than the disciples would have met in a lifetime. If the call of evangelism has been placed on your life, and it has if you're saved and born again, in some sense, it has been placed on all of our lives. You may become concerned about trying to reach everyone with the gospel, and we should be concerned about everyone. We should all have, as we used to call it back in the late 70s and early 80s, a burden for souls, which so many of us don't have anymore. We should be concerned about every lost soul. However, logically, since you're just one person and you're not God, even though some of us think we are little gods, unfortunately, logically, it is impossible for you to reach all people or even all people groups with the gospel yourself. You can support others, but God is giving you a place to minister as well. Unless you're Billy Graham or one of the other great evangelists of our time and in the past. But you're not Billy Graham. But with God, all things are possible, and that is why he directs his messengers, his servants, and missionaries to specific people groups through prayer, through assignment, through calling, through circumstance, through locality, through your culture, through your race, and through the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we see this principle at work in Acts chapter 16, don't we? Where Paul and Silas were on a missionary journey through modern-day Turkey. After going through Galatia, Luke writes that they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. God told him to hold up for that area right now. So they decided, and they were moved to go to Bithynia. But again, the Spirit suffered them not. So they went to Troas, and as they stayed the night there, Paul heard the famous Macedonian call. In a dream, a Macedonian man came to him saying, "Come over and help us." Luke writes, "Immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Each and every one of us, the name must follow the Lord and his leadership and his guidance and his direction. I get invitations all the time. People asking me to come and preach the gospel all over the world, and I thank God that I have, in my early years particularly, I've traveled around the world and preached the gospel. Now I preach the gospel in every nook and cranny of the world, live and on demand. And I have discussed this and shared this with family members and others. Every day, right now, I'm preaching to hundreds of people live, thousands maybe, live, right now as I am preaching, right now, in countries all around the world, in different languages. If our technicians, if our staff have done their job and made sure the language, the sermons were put into the 100 languages I preach in, Right now I'm preaching in 100 languages around the world through technology that God has wrought. Preaching on multiple platforms at the same time. And I ask the question now, why would I go and preach in a single locality when I can preach the gospel to everybody right here? The reason why they're inviting me is because they can hear me and see me where they are, in Kenya, in Nigeria, in the Philippines, in China, in the underground church, in South Korea, in Iran, in Iraq, in Saudi Arabia. Yes, I show up in those places by the grace of God preaching the gospel. And if I went to their border, I couldn't get in if I told them the truth and told them that I was coming to preach the gospel. They would probably arrest me and put me in jail in some of these countries. And so sometimes you can do more right where you are. And in my case, as an evangelist or preaching the gospel for 40 years, having preached in multiple countries and states, I bring all that to bear right now because I've been in many of those countries, and I have met different people, and because of that experience, it's very meaningful and very advantageous for me to preach the gospel and do what God called me to do right here. Even though I would love to go, I have the opportunity to go. But I am more effective right here, doing what God called me to do right here. And just like I need to stay in my lane, you need to stay in your lane. And right where God called you, where you have been blessed by God. See, that's another thing about preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel. If God is blessing you right where you are and you have fruit coming out of that ministry where you are, you need to stay there until God tells you to go elsewhere. Be that as it may, did the people of Asia and Bithynia need to hear the gospel? Of course they did. But at this time, God wanted Paul and Silas to preach the gospel in Macedonia. See, God is in charge and very much involved in His Great Commission work. It's not up to you, just you. Say, I'll just go all over the world and I'll preach. No, God may want you to stay in Podunk, Kansas, population 111, and reach them with the gospel. Oh, I don't want to do that. I would rather travel to Africa or to Cambodia and be a great missionary. Well, are you a missionary right where you are? You can't be a great missionary in Vietnam if you're not a missionary in Salinas or Salinas, Kansas, or Dodge City, Kansas. You don't witness anybody there. You don't pass out gospel literature there. You don't tell anybody about Jesus there. You're not faithful there. You're not going to be faithful in. Do what God has called you to do right where you are. Bloom right where you are. You don't have to go anyplace else to bloom. Shine your light. Shine your light right where you are in the darkness that is all around you. When God has called you to a specific location or group of people, it is not for you to be concerned or worried about what is happening at other locations or with other groups of people. You can pray for them. You can support them with your finances. We're supporting a group of people right now. They're going to do a basketball type camp. Somehow they've turned that into a mission. That is not anything God called me to do. Later on tonight, I'm going to watch a basketball game, but I'm not going to go and try to witness to people at a basketball camp. But that's what God has called them to do, and we pray for them, and we're praying for them, and we're going to support them, and we are supporting them, have already done so, and we pray that souls would get saved through it. It is not for you to tell God, well, what about these people? What about this task? We all ought to be concerned that the gospel reach the whole world. But God wants the whole world to hear the gospel infinitely more than we do. God is in control, and God is in charge. Not you, not me. You need to be where God wants you to be. I need to be where God wants me to be. And it is absolutely amazing, having traveled across this country and preached in almost every state and around the world, I'm just totally amazed at how God calls certain people to go to certain places to do certain things. And I am constantly convinced by God that this is my Father's world. Trust me, dear friend. Stop thinking you can handle the problems of this world and that you can handle the people of this world. Let me tell you, God is in charge. God is in control. He's the only somebody who can handle all of the different personalities and people and call people to go here and there. Stop trying to control that, man. That's not your thing. And God will show you that. God will prove it to you. He'll call people you never thought would be called to do anything. He'll lead people to go places you never thought. And it's amazing how he does it. It's beyond our little finite minds to understand. Leave people alone and let God lead them and guide them and direct them. And they may have to go around the long way, kind of like you did. They may have to go through deep waters and through many dark nights before they get to where God wants them to be. But I am a living witness. You're looking at a living witness that God will move you to where he wants you to be, and he'll bless you there and use you there and take all of your experiences of the past and make you fit for his use right where he leads you. If you would have told me 40 years ago, when I was having dreams and visions as a young man of preaching to crowds and preaching the gospel to crowds, having hated preachers, hated the church, hated going to church, I assure you that my mother for sure, and I am shocked at what God is doing in my life. Absolutely shocked. We're both surprised, because I was one of those sons who hated the church with the passion. In fact, more so than everybody else in the family. Hated it. Don't ask me to sing in a choir. You know, that's not me. That's not Danny B. I don't sing in choir. Well, my mother said, okay, then if you don't want to sing in a choir, you won't play quarterback on the football team. So, you know. I said, okay, show me the way to the choir. Get the robe. And I went and sung in that choir because I wanted to play football. Hated the church with a passion. Hated church people. Couldn't stand church people. Men, the men seemed so effeminate and so weak. The women controlled everything. And I was there with a listening ear. I first had to get my fried chicken that my mother had cooked. My mother was raised by some old sisters, and she could throw down. She could throw down in the kitchen. She was a modern woman, but she could throw down in the kitchen. They don't make fried chicken and potato salad like they used to. Y'all got to go to Walmart to get a little taste. But my mother is shocked how my life turned out for God. Believe that. And I'm shocked. My dad, before he went to heaven, he used to call me the Apostle Paul. I was traveling so much and preaching the gospel. My brother, I had an old Volvo. He said, man, you're using that Volvo like a horse, traveling across the country preaching the gospel. They couldn't believe it. And I assure you, it's only by the power and might of God. You'll be amazed at testimonies like this in the millions across this country, around the globe. People who hated God, hated the church, hated Christians, didn't want to be around them. And then God saved them, and God changed them. I used to curse and swear to my girlfriends and friends that I was going to drive the bus to hell. I actually said that. That I would never be a preacher. And so all of my friends, those who are happy for me and those who are not, they know something happened to that boy. He's preached the gospel all over the world. He's preached the gospel thousands of times. And he used to hate it with a passion. You'll be amazed at how many other people out there are like me. God is in control, man. God is in control. He is in charge of the Great Commission, my brothers and my sisters. If everyone in the church answered their calling and abided in their calling and station of ministry, God's work would be done, and everyone who needs to hear the gospel will hear it. Do your job. I love the philosophy of the New England Patriots. Patriots, not the Patriots. They might be patients now because of the owner messing around, but the New England Patriots. I love it. Do your job. We need that in the church today. Do your job. Do what God called you to do. Stop worrying about what other folk on the team are doing. You worrying about what the quarterback, you looking back at the quarterback. You're supposed to be catching the ball. You looking back at the quarterback. You're supposed to be blocking for the quarterback. He's about to die because you're looking back at him trying to check him out, see what he's doing. You're supposed to be snapping the ball. You looking around at other players. Do your job, man. Stop worrying about what other people are doing. Jesus had to rebuke Peter. Peter ran back after Jesus told him what to do. Peter ran back. What about this one? What about John? Jesus had to rebuke Peter. Don't worry about him. What is that to you? You do what I told you to do. Amen, somebody. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the messengers of Christ go where he tells them to go. Are you where God wants you to? You might need to move. You know it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Sometimes we'll resist God. We'll fight against God. I did it at a certain point in my life. I was satisfied right where I was, man. I wanted to keep on doing what I was doing, man. You know, I had it made. I was doing it. I was serving the Lord. God had told me years earlier, I want you to go. And he had told me years earlier where to go. But I refuse. Well, let me just tell you this to make a long story short. If you keep on refusing God, God will move you himself. He'll move you himself. He'll move you to where he wants you to be. And I will assure you that he will bless you. He will give you signs that this is exactly where you ought to be. And just follow the Lord. It may be a place where there's no family and no friends. That's all right. As long as you're in God's place where God wants you to be, he'll bless you there. He'll make you fruitful there. He'll use you. Even if it's in a desert, I'm a living witness. If I had not moved, if I had continued to resist God, I assure you the thousands of folks who have heard the gospel from this preacher would have never heard the gospel preached. The many who have been saved would have never been saved. So I urge you, my beloved, to follow God. Listen to God. Listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Some of you know you need to go somewhere. Some of you got your little job, your little apartment, your little house. You're so comfortable, and you know God is telling you to go on the mission field for 12 years. And you're resisting, and you wonder why you're so frustrated, you're so depressed, you're so defeated, and you're so disgusted. Because you're not in God's will. Some of you, God is calling to go full time for Him. You know it. You know it. God has a calling on your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit right now. He wants you to go full time. He wants you to quit that job. That's right. He wants you to quit it. And He wants you to be full time. Not everybody. But some of you, you know, God has called you to do it and you refuse. You love that insurance job so much. All the money you're making falling off into your account automatically. But you know God called you to do it full time, but you refuse. To do it by faith, but you're refusing because, you know, you got it going on. Let me tell you a little secret. If God called you to go full time and you don't do it, He will begin to dismantle your life piece by piece. He'll cause your job to fall apart. He'll cause you to be fired. He will bring illness and sickness in your family that will zap every penny you have in your savings. I've seen it done by people who should have preached the gospel. And I'm thinking of a preacher right now, gifted preacher, gifted soul winner, filled a church by himself, but he was rich. And I was his pastor for a short time, and I told him, I said, you know God called you to preach, man. You need to yield. You know God called you to preach, to be full-time at it. Look what God, how God has used you, and you not even part-time. Most of the folks in this church are in here because you're a soul winner from your heart. You ought to be the pastor here. You ought to take my place. You ought to go head on, man, and succeed me.
God didn't put that on. Don't put that on me. Don't put that on. God didn't call me.
He did not yield. And his beautiful wife, lovely lady. Oh, he loved her so much. He loved, oh my soul. He loved that woman. She got cancer. And almost immediately after that conversation, she got cancer real bad, man. He was a master insurance agent. He knew how to get things taken care of. But he poured every dime, insurance money, his own money, and she was dying fast. Cancer took her out of here fast, quickly. And so I urge you, if God is called, I'm not talking to everybody, but some of you God is called to be full-time in the ministry. He wants you to forsake that job. You can't be on the job 9 hours a day and talking about you when God called you full-time. God called me full-time a long time ago. He said to me, Daniel, somebody has to be full-time for me. Now, somebody has to be. I wanted a job. I wanted to help the Lord do my ministry for Him. And he said, no, I don't need your help because, see, I want to have complete control of your life. You mess up, you do stuff that I am not pleased with, I'm going to just take your blessings away. I want to own your lock, stock, and barrel. I want you to preach for me. So you want to serve me your way. I want you to serve me my way. I want you to do this for me full time. That's what he said to me, very clearly. I said, Lord, I want to help. I want to get a job and you know, so that I can have my own money and don't have to ask people to help me and so forth and so on. But I know all about that. But I want you to do this for me. Somebody, Daniel, has to be full-time for me. That's how God called me to full-time ministry. Be that as it may, my beloved, our dear sister, our dear blind sister Fanny Crosby, Some of you have seen the viral video of a blind man taken out to a basketball court and placed on the free throw line and hit the shot. Fanny Crosby, being blind, she hit the shot. She is the Michael Jordan of the hymn writers. She said these words, "Christians wake, no longer sleep. Shall we rest while others weep? Shall we sit with folded hands when the Lord Himself commands? Go and work, this hour begin. Go and seek the lost to win from the dark abodes of sin to the feast. Oh, bring them in. Do we love the Savior's name? Can our faith His promise claim? Have we pledged to Him our all? Shall we not obey His call? There's a cross that we must bear if the crown we hope to wear. Onward then with vigor new. Time is short, the days are few. Go and work, this hour begin. Go and seek the lost to win. From the dark abodes of sin to the feast, oh, bring them in, oh, bring them in." Amen, somebody. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we praise You and we thank You for what You have done. We praise You, Lord, and we thank You for what You are doing. And we give You the glory and the praise and the honor. Thank You, Lord, for reminding us that You're in control, even of the Great Commission call. And you are the Commander-in-Chief, not us at all. And so, Lord, we individually confess our sins of not obeying You, of not getting into our spot that You have called us to. Help us to repent, to turn, Lord, from our evil ways of thinking that we can tell You where we want to go. There are preachers called by You in churches all across this country who You would rather see on the street, preaching on the street, than sitting in a cold, dead pulpit watching somebody else. There are preachers, Lord, that You want to start a church themselves instead of just sticking around and hanging around somebody else and helping them. You want them to go out and start a church and win the loss in a certain area that is unreached. There's some who You want to be full-time. There's some who You want to work a job and preach the gospel. And Lord, we pray that You would send the Macedonian call to thousands all around the world today and call them to go to where You want them to go, to preach the gospel, to share the gospel, to be a witness for You. And Holy Father God, we thank You for doing that down through the years, in spite of us, in spite of the fact that we have not prayed, we have not obeyed Your holy word that said to us to pray ye the Lord of the harvest to send forth more laborers into the harvest field. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of this wicked sin, this neglect, us not taking it seriously. And Lord, we pray today that You are sending forth more laborers into the field, for the laborers are few, including us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for His sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your soul's salvation from the power of sin and the punishment of sin, which is hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin. That's why you're going to die. It's amazing that you're still alive. 12 people went out into eternity this past week. They did not expect it. In fact, the killer was in the bathroom for some reason brushing his teeth. There are people like that who brush their teeth on the job. And one of the men passed by, and he told him, he was getting ready to kill people, he told him, "You have a great weekend now." He was brushing his teeth like he was going to live, and told one of his co-workers, "You have a great weekend, a good weekend." Then he proceeded, this is right before he proceeded to go shoot 12 people and kill them dead, all of them in the prime of life. They did not expect that. This is a city building right next door to the police station. And so don't think that you're going to be here tonight, because you may not be here tonight. I know you have your plans. We all do, don't we? We don't expect to die, but we die. And we die because of sin. We have funerals. We have graveyards because of sin. Our bodies go to the grave. Our soul goes to hell if we have never trusted Christ as Savior. So thirdly, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now as I speak, to spend eternity in hell. Jesus Christ, whether you believe there is a hell or not, Jesus Christ did. In fact, Jesus Christ created it for the devil and his angels, not for us as human beings. However, if we act like the devil and live like the devil and do like the devil and don't trust Christ and don't trust Christ as Savior, we will go to hell with the devil. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is an awful place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. It's bad news. Hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. You say, "Preacher, we live on this beautiful earth. Surely God will not send us to a place called hell, a place of darkness, a place of torment. You will pay for every sin in hell. And sin is so bad in God's sight that you must suffer in hell throughout eternity. There's no other place for you to go. There's no limbo, there's no purgatory, there's no coming back. As a human being, I wish I could tell you you'll have another chance. You won't. Just like heaven is forever, hell is forever." You say, "Preacher, that does not sound like love. A loving God would never send us to hell." No, God does not send you to hell. God loves you so much, he sent his son to go through hell for you. For Jesus Christ himself said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His name is Jesus. He was speaking of himself. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. God promises so in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and verse 13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven to be with God. With Jesus. Because they want you to be there. That's what's so mind-boggling. That God and Jesus did all of that for us so that we would be in heaven with him, knowing that we don't deserve it. So, dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save you. I'll be glad to lead you in the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken your Ten Commandments. And I've committed other sins, for I have lied in your sight. I've lusted after people and things in your sight. I have committed the sin of idolatry, putting other things and other people before you. I have stolen things before. I have disobeyed and dishonored my parents before. I have taken your holy name in vain, even with curse words. Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon my wretched soul. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. For he is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world, including mine. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul as I receive you into my life, as I believe in my heart that you died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day, allow me to say to you congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@GospelLightSociety.com. And let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you to grow in the faith. In fact, if you send your email to us today, we will send you two free new books. One is titled How to Be Saved Straight, How to Be Saved from Hell Straight from the Bible. The other one is titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ is the Door. If you send us an email, we'll send you these two new ebooks that will help you grow in the faith. And so even if you're already saved and you didn't get saved today, we will send it to you free of charge if you send us an email. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.